The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why did Lucifer get thrown out of heaven? Find out on this episode. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show where we talk about all kinds of different questions. Last episode, we had all kinds of interesting but difficult questions about the Trinity and how that works and when you're born again. Are you ready for another kind of...
I don't know, Sean.
It's not a weird question. I mean, it's a straightforward question.
Okay, good. Good.
It's a question from Connor, and he says...
I think we've heard from Connor before, because I remember I thought of Chuck Connors from
Chuck
The Rifleman.
The Rifleman.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, that's Bonanza,
that's
I think.
That's okay. Hopefully we hear from more than one Connor. I don't know.
It could be.
You know, I hope so.
In Ireland, you'd probably have a lot of Connors.
I have 300 questions, but they're just from two people. Now, this one is from Connor, and Connor says, one objection I've heard thrown at eternal security is with the fall of Lucifer. The question is, why did Lucifer get cast out of heaven if once saved, always saved is true?
Oh, I love this.
So... the other question that's related to the topic of Lucifer and eternal security is, why did Lucifer get cast out of heaven if he was the most beautiful angel and was the worship leader? All right, so two questions. Does the fall of Lucifer disprove eternal security?
No, it doesn't. This comes back to the last show where we're talking about everlasting life.
Yeah.
There is no indication in Scripture that unfallen angels... now, notice I'm talking about unfallen angels,
right,
like Michael and Gabriel, right, and people like that.
So they're the angels that are still in good standing with God.
Right.
They're the good angels.
And there's no indication they have everlasting life. In fact, I would say it's almost certain they don't.
So they exist
because
forever.
Because Jesus didn't die for them.
Right. They exist forever. They're immortal.
Right.
But they don't have this thing called everlasting life.
But they do have an everlasting, secure relationship with God.
Now, how is that possible since a third of the angels and Lucifer fell? Because
right,
they obviously, whatever they had wasn't secure.
Right. There is a verse in the book of Revelation that tells us a third of the angels fell with Lucifer. And how is that possible? Well, the reason is angels before the fall of Lucifer were not eternally secure in their relationship with God. However, having said that, neither were Adam and Eve before they fell. The difference is when Adam and Eve fell, God made it possible for them to have an eternal relationship with them that would now involve having everlasting life.
Okay.
You see, in my view, before the fall, Adam and Eve didn't have everlasting life, because if they had, well, then they couldn't have lost it,
mm-hmm,
because everlasting life is everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, if Lucifer had it before he fell, he would still have it because it can't be lost. So what they had was a relationship with God, but it didn't become secure until after the fall. Now, I'm speculating here, Sean.
Yeah.
There's no verse in the Bible I can point to that says Michael and Gabriel, these archangels, that they are secure forever,
like,
in their relationship with God.
And by secure, you mean there's no verse that says they can't choose to disobey God in the future.
Again.
Right.
Well, they had an option.
Right.
When one-third fell, they could have.
Yeah.
But it seems to me, based on all of Scripture, there's no hint that the number of fallen angels could grow.
Right.
So God evidently made it impossible for the unfallen angels to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And with the fallen angels, he made it to where once they fell, there was no redemption for them.
Right.
Because Christ didn't die for them. So they probably knew that if they rebelled against God, this was going to be a once and for all action on their part.
Mm.
And when one-third of the angels fell in with Lucifer, they were evidently believing wrongly that somehow Lucifer was going to be able to give them a blessed eternity.
So, yeah, let's just speculate about that. I'm just curious.
Okay.
What were they thinking?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of speculation, but I think what they were thinking, because we know from, I think it's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, that Satan's sin was pride.
Right.
And he thought he could be like God.
All right, so that actually kind of relates to Connor's second question. His second question is, why did Lucifer get cast out of heaven if he was the most beautiful angel and was the worship leader? I don't know that he was the worship leader, but he was definitely described as kind of beautiful.
Right. Well, Lucifer means bearer of light. Luce is light, and Pharaoh means to carry or to bear. And so he was to do that. When it says he was kicked out of heaven, by the way, it doesn't mean he no longer had access to God the Father. We know from the book of Job that angels routinely come before God, mm-hmm. and Lucifer was among them when they would come before God. And so even after he had been cast out of heaven, which I believe means the third heaven, after that time, he still allowed from time to time to go into the presence of God. Now, whether that still continues, I don't know. Maybe that ended after the book of Job. But in any case, there is no gaining of everlasting life for any angel, fallen or unfallen.
Right.
And once the angels fell, there was no going back to their former unfallen state or their former eternal relationship with God. But with humans, the beauty is God gave Adam and Eve a way of escape.
Yeah.
Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the seed of the serpent.
Right.
Now, the seed of the serpent was going to bite the seed of the woman on the heel. That's the cross. But at the cross, Jesus was not only going to be attacked by Satan and killed by Satan, but he was also, that was his victory. That's how he crushed Satan's head. His death was also his victory. I was reading a book recently, and it said that unlike all the myths of ancient times where the heroes gained victory by strength and by cunning and by deceit, the Lord Jesus Christ gained victory by dying.
Right. So to answer his second question here, why did Lucifer get cast out of heaven? You said it's because of pride.
Right. Evidently, it was pride. And you asked the question, so what were they thinking? What were the angels thinking?
What did they think they could accomplish against God? To me, it's just so bizarre to me.
Well, do you remember in the garden, we're told that this serpent met with Eve and told her she could be like God?
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, that's the same thing that Lucifer thought. He could be like God,
right.
And that's what he sold to the angels that fell.
Mm-hmm.
And so original sin, the first sin, was thinking you could be like God. And I
right.
think Satan's point is he was going to establish his own kingdom. Remember when Satan tempts Jesus?
Yeah.
And one of the three temptations, he says, you kneel before me and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth, while he's up on the pinnacle of the temple and showing him the kingdoms of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll give you all of this
yeah.
if you'll worship me. Lucifer was deluded into thinking he could have eternal rulership over the earth.
Yeah. Is sin a type of madness that you're just not thinking?
Well, that's a good question. You see, one of the things people don't grasp, I don't think, most of us don't grasp how awesome Lucifer is and was. Lucifer, in terms of strength, certainly would have been capable of amazing manifestations of power and strength. And in terms of intelligence,
mm-hmm.
his IQ would have been off the charts is off the charts.
And we can kind of guess that from what the Antichrist is going to accomplish during
right.
the end times in the book of Revelation. He's going to control the world's economy. He's going to manipulate all the politics. He's going to somehow convince the nations to worship the Antichrist. So that's off the wall intelligence in order to accomplish those things.
I think it is. We are naive if we think that Lucifer is powerless and unintelligent. Of course, greater is he that's in us. The angel of the Lord, which I think is the Lord Jesus Christ, at one point he wiped out 180,000 Syrian soldiers in one night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously God is greater. God's angels are certainly able to contend with the fallen angels. We see that in the book of Daniel. There's evidently some sort of ongoing spiritual conflict. But how have we gotten so far afield?
Well,
here?
We're talking about Lucifer here. Okay, one line. Do you want to go even farther afield?
Oh,
I'm gonna. This is a long.
I don't.
This is a long one.
All right.
This is just speculation, and you know you don't get to hear about these types of discussions. Okay, so you said that Jesus didn't die for angels,
right?
But doesn't the cross of Christ doesn't it affect creation?
It does.
Isn't there a creation aspect to the effect?
In Romans chapter 8, all of creation is groaning as we await the new creation.
Right. So angels are a part of that creation,
they
obviously.
Are.
So how does that could the cross be for them in some secondary sense?
Well, it is in some secondary sense because we're told in Peter, I think 1 Peter, that the angels long to look into this salvation, which I think there is talking about ruling with Christ in the life to come.
Mm-hmm.
But the angels, yes, are going to benefit from the new heavens and the new earth. And obviously the angels to some degree suffered when man fell.
Right.
And also it got worse when the flood came because
right.
now the creation itself was falling apart.
Right.
And of course it already started because of the curse on the ground, but then it got worse after the flood. So yeah, I don't know how all that ties together, but certainly I think the unfallen angels have been bummed out by what's going on during this time where their brethren, the fallen angels, have been fighting against them for these, I'd say, 6,200 years or whatever, 6,300 years.
Right. Well, that's food for thought, I think. You know, if we didn't just give you things to chew on and to think about and stay awake at night to look into, then I don't know what show could do that if we haven't just done it.
Well, you know, I think the reason other people don't talk about these things is because they're so controversial, they're afraid people would stop listening. But let me encourage you, keep on listening because, you know, we're going to tell you that we're speculating.
If we have
a clear verse that says this is what the Bible says, we'll give you that verse or we'll try to point you in the right direction. But if not, we're willing to speculate as long as the speculation is wholesome. And I think in the cases of what we've been talking about here, I think these are in light of Scripture. They're
right.
reasonable speculation.
Right. We're working with Scripture. We're not just making stuff up. We're working with Scripture. But if we've made you think about your faith, then I hope you'd pray for us, support us, and send us more questions so we can talk about these interesting things. Send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about religious OCD. It's going to be interesting. Tune in for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.